Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, tonight what I want to do is I want to talk about something I think is just so critically important in our Christian walk, our Christian development, and I want to talk to you about listening to God. Sunday we talked about loving God, but a big part of loving God is listening to God. And what I want to do is I want to talk about Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, because Joseph was a man who listened to God. In 1 Kings chapter 3 is a verse that really is, it's an important verse to me, because I think it's such a, it gives you such critical insight into the value of hearing the voice of God. This is Solomon's prayer. And Solomon, you remember, he's the wisest man who ever lived. And you can read his story. He was the son of David. And he was, he prayed for wisdom. He took the throne. And God appeared to him. And God said, ask me whatever you want. And if God came to you and said, ask me, I just am so thrilled with you. Ask me what it is you want me to do for you. And I'll do whatever it is you want. Can you imagine? I mean, like, that's the ultimate blank check. What would you ask if God said that to you? What would you want him to give you? Here's what Solomon asked for. He doesn't ask for long life. He doesn't ask for the death of his enemies. He doesn't ask for riches. He doesn't ask for fame. He doesn't ask for any of that. We know that because God later says, you didn't ask for any of these things, and he names them off. But here's what Solomon asked for. Here's what I want. Give me a God-listening heart so I can lead your people well, discerning the difference between good and evil. Give me a God-listening heart. In Chronicles, it says he asked for wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to hear God. And I mean, honestly, throughout, Debbie and I first got married, I remember sitting in a young couple's class, and we were talking, and I remember talking about wisdom from the book of James, and that verse in that day, on that particular Sunday, made such an impact on me. I said, you know what I'm going to do? From now on, every day I'm going to ask God to give me a listening heart. God, give me a listening heart. Give me, incline my heart. Give me wisdom. Make me wise. It is one of the things I ask God to do for me every single day. God, I want to know what you're doing. I want to know where you're leading. I want to be able to hear. I want to be able to sense. It's not always God speaking. I mean, a lot of times people think hearing God means he's speaking only in one way, but God speaks in a lot of ways. A discerning person understands that. That sometimes God speaks as you're reading the Bible and you read something and it jumps off the page and suddenly it's like, whoa, God is speaking. Other times you're talking to a friend and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, God is speaking. Other times you're having your prayer time and all of a sudden you have a sense that God is putting things in your heart or putting things in your mind. Or maybe you're laying down at night or getting up in the morning and all of a sudden out of nowhere, you know, you're aware. God is talking to you. He's speaking to you. One of the most important things we can cultivate as followers of Christ is this listening ear so that we're hearing, so that we're leaning into what the Father is saying. I want to suggest to you that Joseph, that the one characteristic that the Bible, we don't know the color of his hair. We don't know how tall he was. We don't know. We assume he was a stonemason because the Greek word tekton has more to do with that he's probably a stonemason more than a wood carpenter. And you go over there and you see everything's made out of stone. So it probably that's what he does or what he did. We don't know for sure. The scripture doesn't tell us much about him at all. But the one thing it tells us repeatedly, more than anything else, he hears God. This is a man who hears from God. Which is a wonderful thing. I mean, you think about this. If you're God the Father and you're sending your son to earth and you're going to entrust him to a couple to raise him, what's the quality you're going to want the earthly dad to have more than any other quality? I mean, you're going to want someone who knows how to listen to you, right? Joseph's a man who listens to God. And when we look at how he listened to God, we learn some things about listening to God for ourselves. I want to just give you four things, and then we'll spend some time in the presence of the Lord. Number one, a listening heart obeys even when it doesn't understand. A listening heart. If you're a person who has a listening ear, you're not trying to figure things out, you're just trying to hear. If you're a person who listens to God, you're not trying to, you're wasting your time trying to figure everything out. Because with the hearing, there is a wisdom to know what to do with what you've heard, and that's all you need to know. Now watch this. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, the birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, and before they came to the marriage bed, in other words, they had not had sexual relations, Joseph discovered she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. Joseph, chagrined but noble, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in the dream, "Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth, and when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus, God saves, because he will save his people from their sins." Then Joseph woke up. Now watch this. Does he understand what it means when God says, "Listen, Joseph, don't be afraid, take her, you know, the child is from the Holy Spirit"? How does a person ever comprehend that? We know the story. We know the outcome. How, I mean, we can't even understand that. There are more questions than there are answers in those statements for us. Imagine what it would have been like for Joseph. And God says, "I want you to take Mary as your wife." God speaks to Joseph. What does he do? He did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary. So right away, he doesn't wait. He's got questions. There's things that he doesn't understand. There's things he can't comprehend. There's all kinds of questions he surely had to have. Questions about his reputation. Questions about her reputation. Questions about how to explain this to his family. Questions about how that's going to go relative to the synagogue. Questions about his job. Questions about where they're going to live. Questions about how are we going to deal with this. And then you know, all those things that would be a part of the questions. But what does he do? He does exactly what God's angel commanded. He doesn't say this. He doesn't say to God, "Listen, it's great to hear from you, but when you explain it and I understand it, then I'll do it." That kind of mindset, honestly, will keep you from hearing from God. If you think that when God speaks, you're going to understand what everything means, you will miss the boat 95% of the time. Because God speaks things to us that often, at times, initially, have an element of mystery to them. When God speaks to us, it doesn't answer every question. It simply gives us enough information to take the next step. Listen, the mindset that says, "I have to understand it before I'm going to do it," keeps people from hearing from God. Because if you have to understand his will before you do his will, you'll miss his will. Joseph obeys because a listening heart obeys even when it doesn't understand. This is so amazing to watch in his life. Second, a listening heart obeys immediately. Look at it in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. I want you to think about this. He has an angel show up and say, "Listen, you got to get out of town now." You say, "Well, if I had an angel appear to me, like, I'd be believing what that angel said too." Well, if you look in Luke chapter 1, you've got Zechariah, a godly priest who's prayed for years for a son. An angel appears to him and says, "Zechariah, guess what? God has heard your prayers. Y'all are going to have a baby." And he's like, "Man, you don't even get this, because I'm like an old man. Have you seen my wife? I mean, she's really old. And that can't happen." An angel said it would happen. An angel told him it would happen. But he's not buying it. And he's a priest. I'm just saying, don't get the idea, well, if God appears in a certain way, because again, that's not what a listening heart doesn't say, "God, if you appear in a certain way at a certain time and with a certain voice and you talk to me, then I'm going to listen." When you start putting qualifiers on how God's going to communicate with you and what's going to be acceptable for you, you're going to miss God's will. You're going to miss God's voice. Because when you want to hear God's voice, when you have a listening heart, your attitude, your mindset is, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. God, however you want to speak, you do it. Just give me a listening heart so that when it's being said, I know it's you. And however you want to say it, that's good by me." I mean, here he is. And God says, "This is what you need to do." And Joseph does it that night. I mean, if he waits around, it's not going to go well for him. Can I just say this, that when you wait around, it's not going to go well for you either. When God speaks, you know, there's windows of opportunity, and they're called windows of opportunity because they close. There's opportunity, there's seasons, there's moments, there's times when you either step into it or you don't. And if you don't, it's gone. I'm not saying God can't do something else in your life down the line, but you missed that opportunity. You missed that chance to see God do something as you responded in faith to him. And I think God wants to do a lot of things that people are oftentimes sitting there either A, trying to figure out, or B, they're delaying their obedience to the Lord. Now listen, what causes a lot of people to miss out on hearing the voice of the Lord is they've developed a practice of delaying their obedience to the Lord. And here's what happens. The longer you wait to obey, number one, the less sure you are that you heard God's voice. Suddenly the Lord touches your heart and you're like, "God, God spoke to my heart." And I'm telling you, God speaks to your heart. He does. 300 times the NIV says, "And the Lord said." If you learn anything from studying the Bible and reading the Bible, it's that God talks to people. And he talks to people today just like he did in Bible times. And I know that to be true because I can look at my life and see where God put things in our heart, where God made Debbie and I to know things we could not have known any other way, and it was God. But when you delay obedience, what happens is you're like, "Well, I wonder if that was really God." You know, when you first heard it, you pretty much knew. But the longer you delay, the more you're like, well, maybe that wasn't God. Well, I don't know. Maybe that, I don't know. What do you think? And you start going around and taking like a straw poll of people. Do you think that was God? Do you think maybe? And you know what? Then you're really going down a poor road. There's a second thing I think that happens. The longer you wait to obey, the softer God's voice gets. The harder it is to hear. Because you're waiting, because now instead of inclining your ear to listen and to hear what he has to say, you're kind of like, I don't know. And when you are in that phase of just saying, you know what, I'm just not sure. I'm not, you know, and God's spoken, he's told you what to do, but you're not buying it, then you're not developing that listening ear. Number three, the longer you wait to obey, the harder obedience becomes. And here's the reason why. Because you've begun the process of rationalizing away both God's word or prompting to you, and your reasoning has taken over. Well, I don't know how that could happen. Well, you just start thinking, you start having this conversation with yourself. Well, I don't know how that could happen. Well, you know, I just don't know. I mean, you know, and you're talking to yourself in a way that has zero faith. You know, honestly, to do some of the things God puts in your heart takes a great, it's going to take faith. It's going to take you believing that he spoke and that he will do what he said he would do. I mean, you got to believe it. If you don't believe it, then if you don't act on the word of God, even what you have, Jesus said, is taken from you. He who has will be given more. He who doesn't have, even what he has is taken from him. And when you begin to rationalize away God's word, what happens is the urgency fades and obedience becomes harder and God's voice becomes quieter. Here's another thing I notice. A listening heart is constantly in tune with the Lord. So when you have a listening heart, what happens is you just never know when God's going to speak. You never know how God's going to speak. You just don't know. You say, well, I kind of like God to speak at, you know, this. Hey, listen, if that's where you're coming from, you know, dream on Cinderella, because it's not going to go well for you. You know, because God speaks at different times. He can wake you up in the night. He can talk to you as you're driving down the road. He can speak in a variety of ways. And what he wants to do is he wants to stir your heart and prompt your heart all the time. This is why I recommend to people, listen, if you feel something's a prompting from the Lord, act on it. So let's say like this. Let's say somebody, you know, you feel like, man, I just have so-and-so on my heart, and I just wonder if everything's okay. And so, you know, you feel the Lord telling you to check on him, and then you check on him, and they're like, yes, okay, what are you calling? And you're like, oh, I missed that. I'm not going to let that happen again. No, that's the wrong way to look at that. You were obedient to what you felt was the prompting of the Lord. Always follow the prompting of the Lord. If it's illegal, unethical, immoral, then it's not the Lord. You can figure that out. But I'm talking about, you know, act on it. Make a habit of acting on what you sense is the prompting of the Lord. To call somebody, to encourage somebody, to pray with somebody, to invite somebody, to reach out to somebody, to whatever it is to do that. Now watch this. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 19, then when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who are trying to kill the child are dead. Now, let me say this. There are times that God gives you a dream. I believe that God walks the sleep lanes of our life. I don't think every dream, there's some dreams that you're like, that's... That was a nutty dream. That had nothing to do with God. So I think a person can know that. There's other times you get up and you're like, I had a dream. There's times Debbie and I will talk, and we'll talk about it. Because I believe God speaks to people through dreams, that he warns people through dreams, that he encourages people through dreams, that he talks to people, that he makes his plans known through that kind of thing. He doesn't give you, again, all the details, but you watch Joseph, and I mean, it's dream and dream and dream and God appearing in a dream and an angel appearing in a dream. But watch this. So the Lord appears, says, go back. Joseph got up, returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. I mean, he doesn't argue. He doesn't say, well, hey, now, wait a minute. I need to check out. I need to turn on CNN and make sure that Herod's really dead. You know, he could have said, hey, I must send somebody to check this out. I got a baby. I mean, I got the Son of God here. But he doesn't do that. When he learned that the new ruler of Judea, he goes back, was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. Now, here's what I find very interesting. God could have, in Matthew chapter 1, told Joseph everything. I mean, it didn't take that much space in the Bible, all the things God said to him. But he didn't. Because that's not the way God works. God doesn't tell us everything we would want to know. He tells us everything we need to know, and only as much as we need to know to take the next step. So if you're thinking God's going to explain all of this to you, I'm going to send you to Egypt, and you're going to go to Egypt, and then, you know, I'm going to tell you to go back, and then you're going to think you're going to go to Judea, but that's a bad call, and then I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to tell you that, or, you know, God doesn't work that way. God says, get out of town. He gets out. God says, go back. He goes back. God says, don't go there. Go there. God is showing him what to do and how to do it. Listen, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18 says this. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. So here's how it works for the righteous. What God does, it's like you know, before the sun comes up in the morning, and you can't make everything out clearly. You know, like I'll walk a lot in the morning early. And so, you know, in the place where I walk, there's like two or three skunks. And in the dark, if the moon's not out, it's hard to see a skunk. And the last thing you want is to sneak up on a skunk. That's not a good thing. So, you know, like you're trying to watch, you're trying to see, and you know, to see if you can see the skunk. He said, why don't you carry a flashlight? Because everybody think, who's the kook out there, you know? Because I'm walking through the neighborhood. They're like, what, is there a stalker out there or something, you know? So I'm just moving. I'm walking. But I walk fast, and I've come up on I know where they are now, kind of. But I've come up on them several times. But you know what? The more the sun comes up, the less that's an issue, right? The brighter, the closer I get to daybreak, and the farther I get into the day, not a problem. I don't have to worry about coming up on a skunk at noon. I could see the skunk. When the sun comes up, I can see it. You know, that's how it is for the will of God. The will of God, you can see the longer you're walking, the more you're walking with him, it gets brighter and brighter. So God gradually unfolds his will in our life as we're walking with him. It's like the sun coming up. So he gives you just a glimpse, and it's like, man, I can't quite make that out. Don't worry about that. It's going to be like the sun rising. You don't have to, it's not going to be like high noon when God first speaks to your heart on something. You're going to gradually grow in your understanding of that as is necessary for you to know the will of God and to do the will of God. The Lord gradually reveals it because, first of all, he doesn't want to overwhelm us. You know, can you imagine if God told you the plan for 2017? You say, oh, I would love that. No, you would not. God doesn't want to overwhelm you. As well, God wants you to trust him. He wants to develop you. He wants to mature you. He wants to get you ready for that next step, that if he told you today, you wouldn't be ready for it, and you might try to prepare in a way that's not helpful to ultimately maturing to the place that you're ready for that next step. And as well, God desires fellowship with us. Listen, if God told you everything you needed to know on January 1, then you wouldn't be as inclined to hang out with him on January 5th or January 10th. And God wants to walk with you day by day by day by day by day. God wants to talk to you. I believe God wants to talk to you a lot. I'm not going to say every day God has something to say to you. I mean, it would be true through the Word of God he would, and through other, maybe I would say that. God just wants to make himself known to you. So he wants to reveal himself to you continually, all the time. He wants to do that for you. Settle it in your heart that he's there. He's crying out. He's calling out. He's speaking. Our job is to say, Lord, give me a listening heart. I'm going to have the musicians come so I can hear the voice of the Lord. A listening heart. Well, there's one more thing. Is cultivated in God's presence. You know, the only other time we see Joseph, do you know where he's at? He's at the temple. I find that very interesting. We don't have, outside of when the angel appears to him initially, we don't know where he's at. We assume he's in Nazareth or in that general vicinity. But every other time you see Joseph, really, you have any kind of story about Joseph, he's at the temple. It's very, very interesting. He's at the house of God. When the days stipulated by Moses for purification were completed, they took him, that's Jesus, up to Jerusalem to offer him to God. So he's at the temple. And in Jerusalem at that time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. What a great way to live. Prayerful expectancy. I love that. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And the Holy Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. Now that's like huge. But here's another man who walks with God. Led by the Spirit, he entered the temple. And who's in the temple? Who else but Joseph and Mary and Jesus? And as the parents of the child, Jesus, brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law, Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God. God, you can now release your servant. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I've seen your salvation. It's now out in the open for everyone to see. A God-revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and of glory for your people Israel. Jesus' father and mother were speechless with surprise at these words. The NIV says the father and mother marveled at what he said about them. So here's Simeon, and he has a listening heart. And you know what? When you have a listening heart, you're going to see what other people around you don't see. Think of how many people were in the temple at that time and how many people really understood that when they saw the baby, that was the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the King of the universe. Only the people who had a listening heart, they're the only ones who saw him. So I'm just telling you, God wants you to have that. God doesn't want you to miss anything that he's doing. He delights. God friendship is for God worshipers. They're the ones he confides in. Well, and then in Luke chapter 2 and verse 41, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. So listen, I mean, Joseph's in the presence of the Lord. He's there. And a listening heart is cultivated by being in God's presence. I'm going to tell you this. It's why the prayer meeting is so important. It's why it's so important. Because when you're in here, you're watching leadership respond to the leading of the Spirit. This presence of the Lord is here in a unique way. Is he here every service? Yes. But he's here in a unique way to meet you, to meet us, to speak to us. in a way that, can he speak on Sunday? Sure he does. He speaks to my heart. I mean, he can. But he's here to meet you. And then you have to have not only your prayer meeting publicly, but your prayer time privately. Boy, don't miss your time with the Lord. Don't miss that time when you are conditioning your heart to be in his presence. No, it's holiday season, busy, busy, busy. But don't miss time with him. Because God wants to speak to you and he has things to say to you, make a big difference in your life. Some of you need wisdom tonight. Trust him. He wants to give you wisdom. Lean in, listen closely. Cultivate a listening heart. For some of you, you know, you say, I don't really need anything right now. Man, you know what I'd be asking God to do? God, give me a listening ear. Give me a listening ear to hear what you're saying to me, because God speaks. Amen.